G'day, g'day, beloveds. Howdy do. Welcome to Talks from the Heart with Mandy, brought to you by Agape Wellness Coaching, a place where being begins to truth. I am Mandy, a spirituality teacher and transformational relationship coach, as well as founder of Agape Wellness Coaching, and I'll be journeying with you, only this time we're talking heart to heart. Welcome once again, beloved, to my host, Mandy Soul, journeying with you, talking heart to heart. In our last episode, we explored the wellness concept in depth with the aim of supporting you on your journey to being the being you are at root as you navigate wellness dimensions to a meaningful and fulfilling life and relations. Now, as we approach today's episode, I'd like to remind you that in that previous episode, we had already mentioned that at least 2 to 3 upcoming episodes will be focusing on concepts that will form part of our discussions as we focus on spiritual and psychological wellness and well-being in relationships. I'll try my best to share as much as I can in our discussions, but if you ever find yourself needing help and clarity, feel free to contact us at www.agapewellness-center.com. Again, it's www.agapewellness-center.com. Center spelled C-E-N-T-R-E, center. Feel free to leave us your comments in the comment section below or the contact page on our website. Now, beloved, I encourage you to grab your favorite beverage, get comfortable, stay tuned in as we delve into the depths of human existence and consciousness, the intricacies of what it means to be human. Our episode, The Whole Human Explored, is for me a rather fascinating topic as we will be exploring the multidimensional nature of the human being. As we approach the subject of our exploration, I appeal to you, open your heart and mind, as the exploration of our nature has been studied from long time past through various lenses, whether it be ancient spirituality and philosophy to modern sciences such as psychology, anthropology, sociology, and theology. Our nature has been a thing of intrigue. In the spirituality and philosophy realms, scholars and thinkers have long grappled with questions about the nature of humanity. Philosophers throughout history have often conceptualized human beings in 3 distinct dimensions: the body, mind, and soul or spirit. From the 30,000-year-old ancient African philosophies and spirituality teachings of Socrates and Plato, to the doctrines and dogmas of various religions, the spirit or soul of man has been a subject of intrigue. From Aristotle to Descartes, philosophers have often emphasized the importance of understanding the body as the foundation of our existence. Then you have the sphere of studies of the mind, the realm of our thoughts, emotions, and consciousness. Psychologists like Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung have delved deep into the workings of the mind, exploring its complexities and uncovering layers of our psyche. So again, I appeal to you to open your mind and heart as our approach to this discussion may be encompassing of the varied views, as some of them may have informed the conceptualization and construction of our society's understanding of the multidimensional human concept. So let's start unpacking the concept of our multidimensionality. See, as humans, we're not just physical beings confined to this tangible world around us. We possess layers that go beyond surface level. These layers are often categorized into 3 or 4 main dimensions, dependent on the school from which we learn. It is from the spiritual and philosophical schools of thought that one would likely hold the dichotomous or trichotomous view of human nature. And from any of the schools of modern sciences and humanities, one may then hold the quadimensional view of human multidimensionality. So you may be wondering, what are the differences between these views, right? Well, both the dichotomous and trichotomous find their roots in ancient philosophy, spirituality, and of course, theology. Whilst the quadimensional human being concept is rooted in modern sciences and humanities sphere of exploration. Now, dualism or dichotomous view believes that humans are soul or spirit and matter, which is the physical aspect. This school of thought does not see the soul and the spirit of a human as separate facets of the being, but one aspect indwelling the physical aspect. Then we have the tripartite or trichotomous view. Here the belief is that humans are tripart, made of spirit, soul, mind, are considered one and the same, and then the body, right? And lastly, we have the quad-dimensional view that supposes that humans are spirit, soul, mind, and body. As we explore the concept of a multidimensional human through the varied lenses, we shall start by contemplating the physical aspect of our human existence, which is the body. From a biological standpoint, our bodies are intricate machines composed of cells, tissues, and organs functioning in harmony to sustain life. But beyond the physical, our bodies also serve a greater purpose as the vessel. In philosophy and theology, the body is often viewed as the vessel through which we experience the world. From a psychological perspective, it's the embodiment of sensations, emotions, and actions. Anthropologically, the body carries cultural significance reflecting societal norms and values. Sociologically, it's studied in relation to power dynamics, identity formation, and social interactions. See, it is interesting that it's just the body, but the various schools explore it differently. Now, as we shift our focus to the mind, I find this to be even more interesting. Philosophically, the mind has been subject of profound inquiry, from Descartes saying, cogito ergo sum, literally translated, I think, therefore I am, to modern debates about consciousness and identity. One can only think, oh, what profoundness lies in our human nature. Psychologically, it encompasses cognitive processes, emotions in the subconscious. Anthropologically, the mind influences cultural practices, beliefs, and rituals. Sociologically, it shifts and shapes perceptions of reality and social structures. And as we move on to the soul, a concept that is deeply rooted in spirituality and theology, the soul is often seen as the essence of our individuality, connecting us to something greater than ourselves. In philosophy, the soul raises questions about the nature of our existence and afterlife. Psychologically, it touches upon experiences of meaning, purpose, and transcendence. Anthropologically, it manifests in religious practices, myths, and symbols. Sociologically, it binds communities together through shared beliefs and values. Finally, let's explore the spiritual dimension of human beings through these varied lenses. Spirituality transcends religious doctrines and dogmas, encompassing connection, awe, and transcendence. And, oh goodness, this dimension is one that I'd love to see more people explore as they journey through their lives. Philosophically, it delves into existential questions about the nature of reality and our place in the universe. Psychologically, it relates to experiences of inner peace, fulfillment, and wholeness. Anthropologically, it shapes cultural worldviews and cosmologies. While socially, it influences social movements, ethical frameworks, and collective identities. See how the varied lenses see all these dimensions differently, and yet they are the same dimensions of our human nature? I don't know about you. I'm in awe. Learning from different schools, finding out how others view what I explore in my everyday studies, I find it to be a very fascinating process. Now let's bring these dimensions together and explore how they intersect and influence each other. Our physical health can impact our mental health just as our thoughts and beliefs can shape our spiritual journey. By understanding the interconnectedness of these dimensions, we gain a deeper appreciation for the complexities of our human nature. Now, whether it is the dichotomous, trichotomous, and or quad-dimensional view of the human multidimensionality you hold, these are not just theoretical frameworks. They have practical implications for how we approach our wellness, self-care, personal growth, and relationships. By nurturing our bodies, minds, souls, and spirits, we cultivate a sense of balance and harmony in our lives. Now, as we navigate the complexities of human existence, it is important to remember that each dimension is worthy of exploration and understanding. Whether we are pondering the mysteries of the universe or simply just making sense of our own experiences from the dichotomous, trichotomous, and quadimensional view, we are reminded that human beings in their multidimensionality are capable of profound depth and complexity. This understanding of our multidimensional nature is appreciated across diverse races, ethnicities, cultures, and faith traditions across the globe. There exists a rich tapestry of beliefs and practices that speak to the multidimensional nature of human beings. In Hinduism, the concept of Atman represents the eternal, unchanging essence of the self, whilst Buddhism teaches impermanence of all things, inviting us to explore interconnectedness of existence. Similarly, in Christianity, the notion of the soul reflects a dimension of human identity that transcends the material world, pointing towards a deeper spiritual reality.
You may be sitting there wondering, what do they mean, soul and spirit? Are they not the same? Is soul not spirit? Isn't spirit same thing as soul? You may be wondering, is there really a difference between the soul and the spirit? Right? I know there are people who have these questions, just they never get them answered. Or if and when they do get them answered, it's within the context of religion, which may not necessarily be of help to them if they find that the person teaching them is holding a narrow view of what the spirit is versus the soul, right? So again, it is important that we not carry this narrow view that does not allow us exploration beyond our own knowledge and understanding. Throughout time and across cultures, in the religious and sometimes spirituality spheres of society, we've seen the words soul and spirit used interchangeably and sometimes much differentiated, but often mixed up, right? So we are still left with the question, is there a difference between the soul and the spirit? Now, since the concept of spirit and soul are mostly used in the spirituality, theology, and philosophy realms, it would do us a lot of good to remember that most of the language used in these spheres of life was derived from the translations of the wisdom-seeking Greeks. The language used in these spheres of religion, spirituality, philosophy, theology is derived again from the translations of the Greeks, right? Now, in most ancient societies, soul and spirit were clearly distinguished. There was never a confusion as to which is what. And to this very day, in those societies, this distinction remains. Remember, most of the spiritual texts used in the West and most parts of the world, again, are derived and translated from Greek transcripts of other people's stories and, of course, their own philosophies. In ancient Greek, the word pneuma, which means breath of life, is used in referencing both soul and spirit. That's what we have today, right? That is why we see the same word pneuma being used in religious and spirituality context, referencing again both soul and spirit. For the ancient Greeks and Roman philosophers, pneuma was the driving force giving life to the body for function and maintenance thereof. In Stoic philosophy, pneuma, breath of life, was seen as an active, generative, building force that arranges all things in creation from nature, individuals, to the cosmos beyond. They believed that it was a mixture of the elements air and fire in motion. In its highest state, pneuma constitutes the human soul or psyche, which contains the spirit of God, the soul spirit of God. pneuma for Stoics has also been seen or been considered as a force that organizes matter by existing even in the inanimate objects, right? And now, yes, there is a difference between the soul and the spirit. There is a clear distinction between the two. Although in many traditions and even in religious spheres, these two have been confused one for the other. Now, before I state the difference between the spirit and the soul, it is important to establish that all things are from and are created by the spirit. All things are from and are created by the spirit in its purest and highest form. Both the animate and inanimate were created by the spirit and have the essence thereof. The varied and evolved manifestations of the pure spirit is what brings about distinction between itself and its various manifestations. Again, I repeat, the varied and evolved manifestations of the pure spirit is what brings about distinction between itself and the various manifestations. The spirit is that part of us that is most attached to source. It is source. It is the fragment of source that chose to manifest itself in various ways. It manifests itself in various ways for personal expression and practical experience. It is the God aspect, the life-giving, creative, and expressive aspect of our beings, present in all things throughout creation. You look at the mineral kingdom, it was created by spirit. The plant kingdom, created by spirit. Animal kingdom, created by spirit. Then us, created by spirit. Now, as spirit expands itself through creation, it reaches that place of evolution where it needs to express and experience itself in a manner that accords it personal expression and practical experience of its intelligence. Throughout creation, none of the creations of the spirit are exercising the superior intelligence of the spirit, except humans. So the spirit seeking an outlet where its superior intelligence is lived out, expressed, and practiced, it creates the soul, the psyche, the human aspect that is sort of a container that holds this beautiful, intelligent God aspect of our being and inhabiting a physical body to help this God aspect go on and live out its intelligence, its expressions of its intelligence practically in this physical body. Again, the spirit is the God aspect of the human. It is a fragment of God that is in each and every one of us and in everything throughout creation. The spirit is that part of creation that is most attached to the divine, that is most attached to the creator, the source. It is our divine nature. It is the divine nature of all creation. It is the God particle. And the soul and the body are parts of us that are birthed and animated by the spirit, the pure and higher state of our beings. See, all things are spirit. For they are created by spirit for spirit, right? Spirit is immaterial in form. It exists in very, very subtle spaces. Again, it is immaterial in form. And in the less subtle, less pure state, spirit manifests itself as the soul and mind aspects of a being. These two are immaterial as well. And in the most dense realms, the spirit manifests itself and its desires of expression and practical experience in physical form that is the body. Now, one can think of the being as a temple. One can think of the being as a temple where the physical body is the outer courts of the temple, the soul mind space is the inner courts of the temple. And now the spirit space being the innermost place, the holy of holies within the temple where God resides, where the God aspect of our being resides.
that is the Holy of Holies. In this place, the God aspect of us resides in union with this creation it created, as well as the Holy Spirit of God, right? So the God aspect will not abandon itself. The God aspect of us will not abandon source. That's why we have the link, that is the Holy Spirit, between the God fragment that exists in humans and God, the source. So this God aspect of us living in this temple and the Holy of Holies of this physical temple, again, exists and resides in this place in union with the Holy Spirit. Once we have agreed on the indwelling of the Spirit of God, of the living God, and this is despite the spiritual path we choose to follow. And I know this is going to get me in trouble with a lot of my Christian listeners, but I will say it anyway. This is despite the spiritual path we choose. God does not choose to have communion with you because you're Christian. Source does not operate like that. The divine does not operate like that. Once a person decides they want to live in communion, in constant awareness of their conscious connectedness with the divine and the greater whole harmoniously, God activates His Spirit within them. And the Holy Spirit is a continuous, a perpetual link between the greater source and the fragment, the God fragment, the God aspect that lives in humans. So whether or not you choose the Christian path, Hindu path, or whatever other path that you choose, I don't want to mention religions, but I'm simply saying that this is something that we need to understand. Otherwise, these people would not experience spiritual awakenings. These spiritual awakenings do not happen because we're Christian. They happen because we have a desire to have constant conscious connectedness with God. A lot of people will not agree with me on this one, but I don't care because I've seen people experience spiritual awakenings and they're not Christian. And they experience the same experiences that we experience as Christians. Is connection with God limited to us Christians? No, it is for all humans created by the Spirit of God. Christ came to die for us since, yeah, to reconnect us. And this happened because most of us were not aware that God still wants to connect with us even after the fall. God still wanted to connect with us even after the fall. You can say whatever you want. God wanted connection with us. If you are a true follower of Christ, and I'm not saying in religious sense, you will understand that Christ didn't come for the righteous. He came for all of us. And those who are willing to awaken to God's desire for communion, God's desire for relation and expression through us, are those that have constant and conscious connectedness. That is not a once-off thing that happens that most of us Christians are experiencing. Don't get mad at me. I know you're going to be mad at me, but it's the truth. The minute we have a desire and willingness to remain in constant conscious awareness of our connection with God and are willing to remain connected consciously with God, the divine, and all of the greater whole harmoniously, we are there. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But if you truly understand and follow His words, not as your pastor translates them, then you'll understand what Christ has been saying all along. Then you will seek that connection with God and you will find it. And it'll be a constant line, open line. Now, the outer courts of our body is for expression and practical experience of the innermost aspect, the person dwelling in the Holy of Holies, your divine nature, your spirit man. the physical aspect is for your spirit man to exercise themselves, their divine nature, through purpose, intentional creativity, using this physical instrument that is your physical man. Then we have the soul, which is the inner court. That is the place, the space between the outer court and the most holy of holies of your being. And I often call this place the processing center of our beings. This is the center where intelligence and emotions battle it out, reconcile, unite, and clash once more. All analytics of messaging, knowledge, experience, both spiritual and physical, conflict, reasoning, and resolutions happen in this area of our beings. That is why we see some of the specialists divide the space into mind and soul, not just the inner court, which we refer to as the soul. That's why we see it being referred to as the mind and soul into two separate spaces, being intellect and emotional facets of our beings. Well, this is the processing center and reception area for information and knowledge and wisdom and all the other blessings from the Holy of Holies and or higher realms of our beings, as well as the reception space for the same gifts and stimuli from the external physical world, the outer courts. Now, the most inner, the Holy of Holies of our being, the inner man, the divine nature of our being, in union with the Holy Spirit, and sometimes not, because most people believe God to be someone out there that they're waiting to find. They're waiting to find God without, right? So for this reason, it is sometimes in union with the Holy Spirit and sometimes not. Again, because people are waiting to find God without. They get in touch with God every now and then and never getting to realize the God nature that resides in them, because their awareness of their conscious connectedness is, in fact, in an altered state of being. God wants constant connection, constant conscious connection with us, not an altered sometimes whenever type of connection we are taught to have. Something that most people struggle with, especially in our Christian community, is the fact that the inner man, the spirit man, in and of itself is a multidimensional facet of our being. Now, this is something we will delve deep into when we discuss the concept of spirituality in depth. This aspect of our being is, again, in and of itself, a multidimensional facet of our being. It can exist in this very realm with you and going to the realms beyond in connection with itself, with God, the source. Now, it is very crucial that one knows and understands that the expressions and experiences of both the inner man and physical man are impactful on one's soul and mind space. Whatever their expressions and experiences of the inner man, the spirit man, the person in the Holy of Holies, and those of the physical man, the person of the outer courts, are impactful on one's soul mind space, the inner courts. The inner man, the person in the most inner space of your being, the Holy of Holies, is that part of your being from which all dimensions of one's being are manifest, right? This aspect of you knows who you are, whence you come, why you're here, why you were created, the expression you are to carry, the direction of your journey. Most of one's life's journey answers are available from within themselves, from the God aspect, from the spirit man. Now we come to the inner courts of the temple, which is the soul and mind space, the receiving and processing center of extra, inter, and interdimensional information and experiences of the being. From the being as a whole, without consideration of the facet that is sharing information and knowledge. And this aspect of our being will go into process mode, analyzing, reasoning, and providing outcome, right? And this outcome may lead to our emoting. Now, I want you to see this aspect of our being as the ocean, whereby the winds that happen externally can in fact affect the ocean, right? And even movement that happens internally can also affect the ocean. More often, the spirit would be gentler. It'd be like the motion of the creatures in the sea, not affecting the sea as much. But when need for expression exceeds need for stillness, this spirit, the spirit, the inner man, will cause giant waves, just as an earthquake in the sea will cause a tsunami, right? And the physical man, of course, or the ever-changing environment, will constantly cause disturbances to the inner court of our beings. When information received from both the external and the inner man is not aligned, the mind-soul space may, after analyzing and processing, experience dissonance and discord in ways that we will see play out in the emotions that most of us refuse to experience, the negative emotions. And when there is alignment and balance and harmony between the inner man and the physical man, the outcome that is from our soul space will be our much desired outcome, which is the positive emotion. Now, are the outcomes, the emotions of reasoning and intellect by this soul mind space of ours good or bad? Are they good or bad? Are the emotions good or bad? Well, again, they are neither good or bad. They are just analytical outcomes based off of how our processing center analyzes our experiences. Both physical and spiritual experiences are processed and outcomes are provided. And that would be the emotions. And now, because of the knowings of the spirit man that is divine in its nature, the inner man will never assign meaning and purpose to the outcomes, because this part of one's being understands and knows the journey, the cosmic agreements, and that these experiences that we experience are somehow predestined and created by us as creative beings that are capable of creating and changing the course of our journeys, still with the intent of fulfilling the mission of our being on this plane called Earth. Now, the physical man, on the other hand, knows and understands only what it has learned from the time this facet of our being was presented and expressed to this physical world. That would be our parents, teachers, society, and its environments at large, as well as information passed on genetically from ancestors. Now, this part of our being, despite being the youngest part or facet of our being, esteems itself just as much as the soul and the spirit esteem their functions and role in this realm. So, the soul and spirit facets are immaterial aspects of oneself, and they've traveled this journey together more than most of us know or are willing to accept, something that our religious fathers, teachers, and leaders do not want us to know or even acknowledge if they do not know already. These aspects of our being have been together through various containers, through various physical structures than we are willing to imagine. And of course, some of our religious worldviews will not allow us to even dare imagine this about ourselves. For some worldviews, reincarnation is not a thing. Reincarnation is not a thing. But truth is, there are moments where echoes from the spirit and the soul will bring information to the fore that presents
the past lives aspects of ourselves that we are not willing to open ourselves to. But again, it is something that we need to be opening ourselves to understand these facets of our beings, right? Now, whilst the soul and spirit have been together from the very beginning of one's journey, the soul mind is
required to forget
all that it knows for it to function well and objectively in its service to the multidimensional nature of our beings, that being the spirit man and the physical man, who is the vehicle of expression and practical experience
for both the soul and the spirit man.
Now, you will notice that when children are younger, they know with clarity who they are, what they are, and want to be, and why they're here, and more often than not, the direction of their journey in this realm. And if such one's soul chooses an environment that allows this knowing and remembering to remain with them, the integration of one's being is easy, because there may never really be a point of deep disintegration or incidents of imbalance that were left unattended, because the environment they chose for themselves fosters alignment and harmonious balance of their being. On the other hand, others, for whatever reason, whatever their mission and reason, they choose environments that'll cause total disintegration of the being's oneness, so that the soul will not remember anything, hear or recognize the nudgings of the spirit man until the appointed time of their awakening. Only then do they awaken to the inner man, to their inner knowing. Now, based on the extent of the traumas suffered and the depth of their disintegration, one would have to unlearn old ways of being to learn new ways that'll help them create oneness and wholeness in their being. Now, you may be wondering, is wholeness and oneness something that is attainable to each and every one of us? Does all and every person out there experience oneness and wholeness? Well, we all need to bring about oneness and wholeness to our beings. We all need to bring oneness and wholeness to our beings. This is something that should be a state of being. This is not something reserved for the mystics and highly spiritual people out there, as we are taught, but it should simply be our way of being. It should be a way of being for each and every one of us. In fact, it's our natural way of being. Harmony, harmonious functioning is our natural state of being. It should never be any other way. It should never be any other way. There should never be a point where, you know, you are not experiencing wholeness, because the moment one is not experiencing wholeness within their being, it means they are malaligned and it'll disturb their wellness journey. And it is all about us being well, living out our wellness whilst we're here, expressing ourselves through purpose, being who we are at the very root of our being, right? Now, you may say, how does one integrate and bring about oneness and wholeness to their being so as to support their effort to attain wellness? Well, knowing, understanding, acknowledging and appreciating our multifaceted nature for what it truly is, with all its functions, without esteeming one over the other, as this will cause constant dissonance between the inner man and the physical man, something that will put a strain and cause turmoil in one's soul, which, by the way, is the reason the soul-mind space is often referred to as the battlefield. See, do not ignore the needs of your physical man to uphold the inner man, and do not ignore the inner man to fulfill the needs of the physical man, because this lack of balance may just put a strain on your soul space, on your soul mind space, putting so much strain that it'll cause turmoil in one's soul, in one's inner courts, And it is the reason we call this space the battlefield. It's the reason they say the enemy of our souls is battling within this area of our being for domination over this area, right? But again, that's a different topic. I'm just simply saying, ensure that these constant battles that happen in the inner courts between the physical man and the inner man are kept to a minimal and create the necessary balance and harmony between all these facets of your being so as to foster your wellness.
Now, because the inner man, the higher self, the spirit man, is that part of us that remains connected to God, the divine source. For most people, this part should be in charge of the journey as it is most knowing, as it is the most knowing part of our being in comparison to the physical man, right? And to some degree, I agree that the inner man should lead the way, but at the same time, one needs to keep balance. One needs to keep balance because the physical man is the expressive part of us. It's the facet that is sensationally and practically experiencing whatever the experiences that are led by the higher self, by the inner man, the spirit man. And the soul, being the processing space, holds a very difficult function of analyzing and reasoning and decision-making in creating outcomes that are life-giving and or dooming dependent on the desires of the dominant or leading facet of our being at whatever moment, whatever given moment. So if the physical man says, I want to experience and express more for the spirit man to live out its mission and purpose and its creativity, then there is alignment between the inner man and the spirit man. Because remember, the spirit man created or manifested its physical form for it to have expression of its intelligence and practical experience of itself. So if now this physical man is wanting that and wanting more of it, there is what we call alignment, of course. And when that is present, the soul space gives outcomes that are life-giving. And if at some point, which always happens, there are and will always be moments when our earthly wiring or learned programs tell us, pleasure only, please. Pleasure only. Protect oneself at all costs. Make sure you don't lose control. I want control, control, control of the path so that I never feel helpless, so that I never feel fear, so that I never feel this, that I never feel negative emotions. Then the spirit man and the physical man contend for control. Because remember, the spirit man is most knowing in comparison to the physical man.
And the spirit man knows that
one going through a certain path, one going through a certain experience may help them grow, it'll help them develop in ways that the physical man does not necessarily comprehend, right? But the physical man, in its wiring, is inclined to pleasurable experiences. And it wants more of those pleasurable experiences right now. And whether these experiences are good or bad in the long run, as long as right now the senses are pleased and the physical aspect is feeling good, it's all good for the physical man, right? And we tend to shame the physical man, especially in the spiritual realms of society. We tend to shame the physical man for wanting pleasure only. We do not understand why this part of us wants pleasure only. We fail to even interrogate why we are wired that way or why we react that way to situations. Now, often we want to dismiss the desires of the physical man as just, you know, it's just the physical man being the physical self without thinking, this dimension of myself has experienced some things, and from those experiences, this dimension may have been hurt, traumatized, and all sorts of things. And now this dimension of ourselves wants to express itself in a certain manner that only gives it pleasure. It wants to exercise itself in a certain manner that only gives it pleasure. And you find that the spirit man is seeking to experience itself in a manner that grows the person, right? So there becomes that discord between the two spheres of our lives. And we never sit down and interrogating this. We just look at people and say, oh, they're so sinful. They're so this and that. These people are not this, you know, we hold them to a certain level of morality, not even trying to understand, or even ourselves, we hold ourselves to a certain level that we don't try to understand. What is the root of this issue? Some of these issues are rooted in the soul. They're rooted in the soul experiences of previous lifetimes if you are one that believes in reincarnation. And sometimes these are rooted in a spirit that may have anchored itself to the person that is not necessarily the pure spirit, that is not necessarily the inner man. And sometimes these are rooted in culture. There are things that happen in cultures across the world, and certain physical experiences that people find themselves enduring are rooted in their cultures. They're rooted in environmental traumas, such as childhood traumas emanating from experiencing bad examples of parenting, unfortunate victimhood that resulted from ill-fated life incidents such as rapes, illnesses, robberies, poverty, abuses of all sorts, and other life happenings, and, oh, lest I forget, indoctrination and religious traumas, right? So when the flesh or the physical man reacts or wants to express itself in a manner that is not necessarily in agreement with the inner man, with the person in the holy of holies, it isn't because the physical man is a spoiled brat acting out. It has its experiences, and those experiences need to be acknowledged, and those experiences need to be explored for healing to happen to the physical and soul level of the person. The soul mind space needs healing, because as the physical experiences such traumas, the soul, the mind space of that person, the soul mind space bears the brunt of it all. And it is painful. It is painful. And the spirit man knows this, but because the spirit man, in agreement with the soul, chose to inhabit this physical manifestation of the spirit, it has carved a path. And that path can be changed, of course, but it has carved a path in agreement for it to experience itself in a certain way, traumas included. And that is something that we never discuss, because we are taught that traumas are not necessarily a good thing. And of course, trauma is not necessarily good, but it is essential for our development.
Now, as we get to explore trauma in future episodes, you will learn that trauma is not necessarily a good or bad happenstance for people, but a life event that happens for purpose sake. We get to assign significance to the events and determine how their effects affect us. So we will in the future discuss this, and I hope you will continue to tune in for that,
which is something that we will discuss in future episodes. Again, even in these kind of incidents, your physical man will send a message to the soul mind processing center that one is afraid, they're tired, they can't take it anymore, they can't take any more of this expressing and experiencing, and they want to tap out. And the soul will again analyze input from both the spirit and physical man, and when consensus is reached between the two in that soul-mind space, the soul will give life or doom dependent on the agreement. And where there is no consensus, the being will continue on in what some may deem as a delayed end or a delayed transition. And this waiting period for agreement to be reached, one can trust that this is a struggle-filled waiting period. And often things may change before long. The soul will continue to provide a joyful and fulfilled life for as long as there is balance and agreement between these two spaces, between the spirit man and the physical man. So it is imperative that whenever we are going through our challenges, whenever we are finding ourselves not being able to handle whatever it is that we're experiencing, we seek to understand its roots. We seek to not downplay one dimension over the other, thinking, oh, you know, the spirit man is of the world. Because we do that. We say, oh, the spirit man is more attached to the world, is seeking pleasure, it's seeking sensational experience, it's not this and that. But if we are to be honest, we need to understand what is the root of this situation that I find myself in. It is important that we interrogate all the things that we feel, the emotions, the experiences, whatever it is that we find our physical man experiencing, the soul space experiencing. We need to take a space of non-judgment. A non-judgment space, really. Non-attachment to the things, and seek to understand things for what they are. Already the spirit man knows. So sometimes going inward to the Holy of Holies to seek knowledge and understanding helps. But again, you never look down on the physical man or even your soul mind space, because that space carries a lot of burden, and the spirit man exercises its knowing, its intellect, its expressions and desires. But at the same time, with it being responsible for the manifestations of all the other dimensions, it is also important for one to integrate all of them and not treat them as different facets of one's being. In that way, there is harmony in how we move about. There is harmony, and one area should never be really totally in charge, because it does not get to experience what the other dimension is experiencing without integration. Because the minute we say the spirit man should lead the way, as much as I agree with that a little, it is also important to understand that the spirit does not have physical experience without the flesh. The spirit does not have expression without a physical man. So the needs of the physical man must be considered as much as the desires of the spirit. And within our soul mind space, we should try not to struggle with these things. We should sit with understanding that the soul mind space forms outcomes based from the information it is getting from both the internal, being the Holy of Holies, and the external, being your physical man. And we need to consciously create that balance within ourselves so that these battles are less. Because when the soul mind space suffers, our well-being collapses. Our well-being may very well collapse.
So we want to maintain wholeness and oneness in our multi-dimensional essence.
And when we do that, we're able to also maintain our wellness through the various facets of wellness as a multi-dimensional, multifaceted area of our life. Again, we need to remember how fascinating these dimensions are. It is fascinating how these dimensions interact and influence each other. A healthy body can positively impact our mental health and spiritual well-being, just as a troubled mind can manifest physical ailments. Think about it. A serene mind can lead to a deeper spiritual understanding, while spiritual fulfillment can bring peace to our mental state. It's like a delicate dance with each dimension influencing and being influenced by the other. Understanding this interplay can help us navigate the complexities of being human. So embracing wholeness is very important. So how do we make sense of all these complexities? How do we embrace the wholeness of our being? Remember, I said it starts with awareness, recognizing
and honoring each dimension of ourselves. It's about nurturing our bodies, cultivating our minds, and nourishing our spirits. But it's also about integration. It's about finding harmony between these dimensions, aligning our physical, mental, and spiritual selves towards a unified purpose. And perhaps in embracing our multidimensional nature, we can unlock new levels of self-awareness, compassion, and fulfillment. Now remember to maintain harmonious balance through choosing wellness with conscious intent and living lives that are totally in support and are aligned to our wellness and well-being as we walk and journey through life as well-integrated beings, well-balanced beings in harmony within self. As we conclude today's episode, I'd like to remind you to always explore life and our human nature with a filter-free lens so as to explore free of bonds. As you've seen throughout history, various disciplines have explored the complex nature and dimensions of our humanity, each offering unique perspectives and insights. Philosophy delving into the nature of existence and the pursuits of meaning. Psychology immersing itself and the intrigues of the human psyche, objectively exploring its complexities. Anthropology, studying human cultures and societies, highlighting the diversity of human experiences. Sociology, examining the social structures, dynamics that shape our interactions and identities. And of course, spirituality and theology, offering frameworks for understanding our place in the cosmos and our relationships to the divine. Whether through prayer, meditation, or ritual, spiritual practices provide an avenue for connecting with a deeper dimension of ourselves and the world around us. In essence, the multidimensional nature of humanity reminds us that we're more than just the sum of our parts, and reflecting on these dimensions of our existence offers us a perspective of the complex and richness of this human experience. We are complex beings with infinite potential for growth, transformation, and connection. Each dimension intertwines with the other, forming a tapestry of connection and being. It's through embracing this multidimensional nature that we can cultivate a deeper understanding of ourselves and our place in this world as we embark on a journey of self-discovery and self-realization. And I'm hoping that you too take a moment to embrace this complex yet beautiful nature of your humanity. In our next episode, we will further explore our multidimensionality with a special focus on the psyche. I hope you tune in as we continue to journey talking heart to heart. Now remember, this podcast show and its contents is available to you on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, YouTube, and of course our website, that is www.agapawellness-center.com. Like, subscribe, and share. Tune in again for more. You can reach out to us on social media. We are available to you on Instagram as at Agapa Wellness Coaching and on Twitter as Agapa Wellness CC. It sure has been a wonderful time spent here with you, but it is time for me to love you and leave you. Until the next episode, this is your host, Mandy, signing out. Shalom.